Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Advocate.
Good afternoon. How are you keeping?
Siyaphila xesi bakhondo man. Kunjani kuni?
Inkosi siphethe ngenxeba nathi siphilile.
Yes, yes indeed. Thank you so much for joining us. We want to talk about how residential evictions work in South Africa. We've done the intro with our listeners. Now, what are common grounds for eviction?
Non-payment. That's the first thing.
Non-payment.
Non-payment. People take occupation and they hope they are going to have enough for 6 months or for 12 months or for 2 years. And along the way, something goes wrong and they fall back. And when they have made a gentleman's agreement, it gets very difficult to evict. But when they have made a written agreement, life gets to be much better controlled between the landlord and the tenant, all right?
Yes. Now, Advocate, I hear you, and I think it's quite exciting for landlords and those who are renting places. Now, we've had, many landlords, I've had conversations with landlords where they are struggling to get their money, number one. Number two, to evict people from their properties. They say it's a difficult process to actually get people out of of your property. What is the process for a legal eviction?
All right, process and procedure, it's easy. And that's basically where most of us fail, even lawyers fail there. Because we vacillate between the quest to have that rental. So I will probably leave you and not, evict you when you have defaulted the first month. The second month, the third month. And maybe when I'm about to evict you, you then pay as a tenant. And then it raises my hopes that, no, you are struggling and I then do not evict you.
Mm-hmm.
Then you fall back again for the next 3 months. It rises, it becomes 7 months or 6 months. You've only paid once. And you pay again the second time, it rises. After a year, you discover that, oh, no. This person has had payments about 4 or 5 times out of the 12 months. And that causes problems because you have built a habit and a reputation that you are not going to get them out. Now, the process is as follows. One, you need to stick to your agreement. It's difficult to stick to the agreement. You need to have a clerical somebody who is able to say, Bangisi has not paid on the 31st of August. And in that very first 7 days, you give him a warning letter and say, as per the agreement, if you have not paid, we will evict you by means of a legal court order. So once a person has come in, you don't just chuck them out. You don't do that. You need now to make a process run in terms of finding a court order to go out. You don't take it in your hands, even when the agreement is in place, because common law says people should be given enough warning, and also they should be taken through the process of court. And that enough warning, it will be that first letter. Even when you have now started the process through an attorney, the attorney must make that second letter written by the attorney himself. And that second letter written by the attorney will show that the tenant has actually received the letter itself. Only then can you start to make an application to court, or you take action via the court process, either in the magistrate's court or in the high court. And there you must serve the papers on the tenant, so that the tenant can also answer to the fact that you are evicting them. Now, where you are in a township situation, like we normally stay in townships, particularly where you may have given somebody a shack, or you may have given them your township house, you don't just let them go into the street without finding alternative accommodation. And I'm talking about us who were renting there. You need to make sure that if it is a rental situation, there is advance notice. You could say 3 months, so that they are able to go out there, find alternative accommodation. And when a court order is served on them, when you have been through the court order, because you will run the process, they will be answering, and then you'll be taking them to court. There will be a notice of set down. You are presenting your case to the court. The tenant can also present to the court that I indeed do not have money at the moment, but I'm asking the court not to evict me immediately. Usually, the court do not evict you immediately. That's now you what
see,
happens.
Now, you see, that puts a strain, I believe, on the landlord because, I mean, the property got to be paid. Remember that I'm still paying for the bond. Which bond I expect the tenant to contribute towards, and that's number one. Number two, it is now costing me money because I've got to go to the court, and that court process is not free. So, which means that that process becomes now unfair on myself as a tenant, and perhaps is okay for the tenant itself, and not for the landlord.
Yeah, that is very correct, and therefore, if you want a tenant, you must know that will be the process. If you are not happy with the process of law, don't take any tenant.
I see.
That is
I
as
see.
Simple as that. Yeah. But when once you take a tenant into your space, please know that you don't just wake up tomorrow and you tell them, please leave my property by the end of today. It doesn't work like that. Most of our people don't know that. And so you can use your township boys, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
You can use your township boys and say, boys, and township boys will do a good job. But in your normal urban residential environment, in the suburban environment in town, usually people who stay in town will not do that.
Yeah,
you must follow the court process. And that court process ought to be adhered to. If you don't adhere to it, they are entitled on their part. Once you've, even when you've in township, you have used your township boys, they are entitled to wake up tomorrow and go to what we call the urgent court. And the court can instantly grant them relief and tell the landlord, you are not entitled to take the law in your hands. They can do that. So you need to know, please follow process. That's how it works.
Yeah. Now, what about unlawful occupiers? Do they also have rights during an eviction?
Yeah. Unlawful occupiers, like we normally have. I've dealt with these matters so many times. You know, you find guys invading the land. You remember that? They invade the land, and there they are placing shacks on the land. Generally, the municipality, or for that matter, the private land owner, is able to run to court also for a what we call an urgent relief, and the court will grant them and say, "Oh, it's your land. Yes, it's your land. The municipality, yes. And I don't want these people to drive me crazy. Let them please be out of the land because they've invaded it." The court usually is able to grant that particular order. And you can thereafter, once you have an order, you are able to go to them and say, ladies and gentlemen, all of you in these shacks, please leave. Now, people will normally not go because they know you don't have an eviction order. You just have a court order that says you are entitled now that you can tell them to go, which is what you are doing. But when they refuse to go, you go back to court again and you say, court, give me an execution order. The court is able to grant that to you also on the spot. and you go and you employ the services of what we call the red ants. And they will go to those shacks and destroy all the shacks, or they will come in the township and take all your goods, place them in the street, and when they do it, you know them, they do it very mercilessly. It becomes a mess.
Yeah, it becomes a mess. Terrible mess. Mm.
Yeah, they come in there with guns, with shamboks, prepared for a war from the tenants. But otherwise, the process is supposed to be followed to the letter. It's supposed to be followed either at the agent court or at what you call just a process in due course. That's how it works. Okay?
Yeah.
And why is it so? It is so. Let me tell you, it is so in order for all of us not to take the law in our hands. Let me tell you what happens in townships. In townships, you find the people who hire their normal spaces in front of their house. And they say, you can come and sell in front of my house your fish and chips and your ration and your bread and whatever. And now when they are tired of those persons who are in front of their yard, they then say, we are going to now ask you to go. And the person is really at that stage trying to make a living. Now, when they have defaulted, please follow the process. Let it not be chaotic. Otherwise, it's going to be the law of the jungle in this country. If you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get
and
you.
Our country has to handle life in an orderly manner. So over a period of time, we have tried to find out what is the best orderly way of handling it. And the best orderly way is to at all times give them advance notice, go to court, show them the court order.
Mm-hmm.
If they refuse to adhere to the court order, get an execution order, and then get whatever security entity can be to come and evict them, remove the goods, put them away. Sometimes what they do, those security entities take all your goods and put them in their trucks so that you can feel the pain that to disobey the court is not allowed.
True.
That's
true.
What they do.
My
That's
goodness.
What they do.
Now, advocate, what will the court consider then? You're talking about getting an eviction order. But what does the court consider before granting such an order?
Yes, sure. Let me talk about your very big ones.
Mm.
The residential environments in the town. Because that's exactly where my issues always are. You were there. You booked and you are staying in a house that you pay a rental of 15,000 rands.
Mm.
Now, that 15,000 rands a month suggests that you have money.
True.
The court will look into that, the fact that you knew what you were doing. It's not that you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Then the court will also look at the way you justify why you think you are not able to pay and look at your reasoning. That's what the court will do. Look at your reasoning and see whether you are being a crook or you are genuine.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly for the banks as well. You see, when you fall back with your bond with the banks are not allowed to just come and take your house and say, we repossess the house. They are not allowed to do that. Even your car.
Mm.
They are not allowed to do so. They've got to go via the court. And they can then look, oh no, this person lost a job. That's what they can see. Or this person indeed had a divorce. It probably was a traumatic circumstance. Let's give this particular lady or gent a 3 months leeway. But you're working, say, yes, I am working. I can be able to find a place within a 3 months period. Okay, landlord, let's give him that leeway. And the court will make an order and say, okay, we are allowing the order, but we're giving it a suspended period of 3 months, failing which the landlord will then come back to court and say, please give me an execution order. You might find that in that 3 months, the tenant is able to pay for the next 12 months and there's no need to chuck him out. You're going to enjoy. So, but if he's not able to really make it, then in 3 months' time, we know that you will go back to court and say, give me an execution order. He has not paid. Let him go out. They look into a variety of factors. That's how they do it. And they look also at what you call prejudice.
Yeah.
To what extent do you prejudice the landlord as a tenant? Maybe the landlord is prejudiced because now he has to pay very quickly.
Yeah.
He must pay the bond.
The bond.
You find that maybe he uses that house as a B&B, and therefore he must pay. If you don't pay, it's an issue, a very big issue. So the prejudice gets to be bigger if you don't give the landlord relief, and the court will say no. It means that the landlord might have now the bond, the bank coming back on him or her. So it might be a vicious chain of events which the court must exercise its discretion to say we should cut it here and nip it in the bud. No, the best thing is for the landlord to be given relief, let the tenant get out and go back to his family, something like that.
Yeah.
They do look at all facts, but they tend to make it as fair as possible. Remember, this is regulated other than the common law. It is also regulated by law itself.
Yeah.
Legislation.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got what you call an eviction act, whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
So that law has got the process and procedure stipulated in full how you do the eviction process.
Yeah, man. Advocate Bangisi, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. I must tell you that this is quite educational, and I do hope that our listeners have benefited as much as I have benefited. Thank you so, so much for your time. And as always, wishing you a fantastic evening ahead.
God bless you, and I wish you well.
Oscar, cool. Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.